Hey, thank you so much for today. And thank you for the privilege of talking to you. As in the next coming weeks, we'll be talking about worship. And today, the title of our message is Expression of Worship. As you can see, I've put one on it, so that means there will be about three or four to come on that. You've already heard that. Next week, we have Pastor Scholler from Kerith Community Church to come and talk about God's heart and what God wants us to do when it comes to worship. He's the man of God. God is with him, and I believe he's going to bring a living word. But today, I just want to give God the glory for the opportunity to talk to you. I will start by saying this, that the chief end of man is to worship God and to enjoy him forever. That means the ultimate goal for you and me here on this earth is to worship God. The ultimate goal, even for eternity, is for us to worship God. So what is this that is so important that we have to do it here and we have to do it in the heavens again? It must be very important to God and very beneficial for us for God to say that the ultimate goal or the chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever. I don't know how many of you who've actually gone to our website and this statement has been there for at least 3 years. The chief end of man is to worship God and to enjoy him forever. Each one of us probably have our own view about how to worship God or what it is, or the best way, or the good way, or the Caribbean way, or the African way, or the English way, or the European way to worship God. But there's only one way to worship God. So when it comes to worshiping God, I'm a lot more confident when I go to the book, because we are the people of the book. Say amen. Amen. You see, because, I mean, left to us alone, we will influence God as to how he should live. But then if you leave it with God and we accept him as the God of our lives, then he will show us how to do things and we will follow suit. So for that reason, I'll be going to the word of God. The passage that's been read so beautiful for us will be guiding us today. However, I will take it easy and I will leave the thought of that passage to the end of the message. So when we get there, we can tie everything in. So we will say that worship flows out of recognition and acknowledgement of the awesomeness and goodness of God towards you. Hallelujah. You see, when you begin to recognize and acknowledge how awesome and how good God is towards you, or how God has been good to you, then you begin to worship God. Because if you don't acknowledge his awesomeness and his goodness towards you, it's like, what's all this thing about? What's worship about? But let's progress this message as we go on. And when you come to that point of recognition and acknowledgement, this will release thanksgiving and a heart full of praise to him. When you begin to count your blessings and name them one by one, it will surprise you what the Lord has done for you. Amen. And for that reason, you have nothing but to praise God. You see, sometimes when I go to old people, so I look at people, I'm thinking, God, you know what? I don't want to be old. Just me being selfish. And you look at them thinking, is that the chief end of man? That man and woman become like babies again. We clean them up when they're young, and then when they're so old, we clean them up again. And sometimes life is not even worth the living. But God says the chief end is to worship him. So from a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of joy, we worship him. So when we come to this point, then our natural response is to bow down in adoration. We jump for joy. We verbalize it in singing to our God. Or we tell everyone in praise to our God. For example, if you buy a new car, whether a used car or a brand new car is your new car. Is that right? If you buy a house, whether it's a new build, old build, or even you rent it, it's your home, isn't it? How many of you have been given a property by the council and you've accepted it and not happy with it? You're so excited because other than that, you're going to live on the street, aren't you? You see, when you buy that car, you're so excited. When you move into that home, you're so excited. When you have that baby, you're so excited. When you go for an interview and a job is released to you, you are so excited because you know money is coming, isn't it? Or when your children achieve something, you go to their schools and you see them performing. What a joy it is. They graduate from school. College is going to sixth form. What a joy it is. You find the right school for your child. What a joy it is. It's our natural response to good news. It's our natural response of saying thank you. It's our natural response to send a card to say congratulations. You see, you are actually bringing the idea of worship into fold. Worship comes when you are grateful about something. Worship comes when something has been achieved. And when it comes, you want everybody to hear it. You verbalize it. And this is what we do. We sing it. So you cannot worship God when you cannot sing or when you don't sing. Singing is a fundamental part of our message to God. That God, you are great. Praising God, lifting his holy name up, saying all the big things about him, bigging him up, is all part of worship. So if you are not bigging your God up and your God is that small and your problem is bigger than your God, then you are not worshiping God. Are you with me so far? You see, I'm ready to worship God. You see, worship, when it comes to worship, we are getting to a point of saying that, look, we recognize of someone who is greater than us. And he is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Recognition of a greater being who holds your life together. Worship first and foremost comes from hearing and knowing the voice of God. You see, if you are somebody who hears the voice of God, who knows the voice of God, you know what happens? Worship flows. Singing flows. You talk about him. You hold him in adoration. You want everybody to hear about him. The chief end of man is to worship him. We're going to talk about worship expressions. You see, now, let's look at the Bible and see exactly what happens. Now, there are visitors who carry good news to us. Now, when we hear the voice of God with good news, we have no option than to worship him. If you look at our father Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, when he was told that he was going to have a child, at that time, you know what, angels came to me. Didn't even know they were angels. But he recognized them. He recognized them because the Bible said that when he was told he was going to have a child, what did he do? He bowed down. He wasn't worshiping human beings, but he used the word Lord. Let it be according to what you say. Hallelujah. So, worship is a bringer of good news to us. And we have to recognize this God that we know. And if you recognize this God as the God who is greater than you, when you hear his voice, you bow down in adoration and you worship him. Hallelujah. Never mind my voice. I've been quite ill for a little while. But you know what? I'd rather stand here and preach and die preaching than to stay at home and make excuses because I worship a greater God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here we are. We have Abraham. There was a bringer of good news, visitors of good news. But within those visitors, he saw God's hand at work. Now, Christmas will be coming soon. You'll be surprised. By the time you come back from holidays, the shops are already telling you that there's Christmas. You see, and we have to be preparing for Christmas. I mean, you as an individual. The wise men, the wise people will start buying their Christmas stuff early because come November, the prices goes up. And then they'll bring it to the normal price and they said, bargain. Now, we see the shepherds and the angels. You see, when Jesus Christ was going to be born, the Bible said that ordinary people were there. So those who worship God can be ordinary people. And of course, they can be greater people too. And God is interested in you as an ordinary person. And God had to tell them that somebody is going to be built, is going to be born. And God used angels to speak to them. Did you think they knew they were angels? They had absolutely no clue. But then you know what? As soon as they heard a voice, something told them that God is speaking. And the Bible said they worshiped the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. How did they did it? Just like Abraham did. They bowed their heads to the ground. And when they bowed their heads to the ground, it's a sense of saying, we revere you. It's a sign of reverence. It's a sign of godly fear. Not that they were running away because they're scared of God. But he said, God, we revere you so much. So they bow. They show their respect. Do you understand that? See, they show their respect. So worship is about showing respect to God. It's about bowing your knees. Oh, bowing your knees. If we could, in the Church of England, where is my background? I mean, we bow the knees, right? And we bow the heads. You see, don't criticize them. They were doing something that you and me don't do. So we have to learn to bow the knee, bow the head when we hear the voice of God. We have to learn to listen, to hear God's voice because he'll come to every ordinary person. And the angels were rejoicing. Worship had to release some joy in you. So sometimes we say we are worshiping and you see a bunch of miserable people standing there. God, we praise you. God, we praise you. God ain't hearing nothing like that. Are you happy? When your child is graduating from school, you go and say, oh, what a miserable child. I don't mind you've got second upper or first class. You're so miserable. What a shame. You wouldn't do that, will you? If you have a child, you want everybody to know. You hold that child. Every good news releases some praise and some verbalization and some singing. Isn't that true? Sometimes I'm even jumping and dancing. Isn't that true? Amen. And God is good news to us. My brothers and sisters, God is good news to us. I've told you we have two funerals that we're going to deal with. I mean, in the next couple of weeks, in the next 4 weeks. That is our sister Bygrave and our sister Mo Davies. And these people, I told you that how they died knowing God. At least I remember my sister Bygrave, and I'll say it when I preach. That I remember on the Monday, I went there and visited her, and I laid my hands on her, and I said, my sister, I know you're going to God, but I just want to pray you into the hands of God. And I told you how Mo's family sang praises while she died. And that is good news. It gives you a living hope. So God is good news to us, and we have to learn to worship this God in truth and in spirit. And that is part of it. And the shepherds and the angels bowed to God. And if you look at it, you also understand that also important and wealthy people, people of influence and power, also worship God, the Magi. They know three kings. They say wise men from the east. We don't know how many they were. It could be a great entourage. But they gave three gifts, right? So the theology of the church and the musician says three kings. That is wrong theology. So go and check it out. But let's move away from that. Wise men from the east. Why did they go there? Because they recognized that there's a greater being that is being born. Somebody bigger than them. Because at that time, they were in a big empire. The east was the developed part of the world. Persia, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, that is where knowledge was. That is where mathematics was. That's where science and medicine was. Even in Europe, there was nothing here. You think the world started with London, isn't it? Or England. There was a lot of civilization there. So these were powerful people. These were noble people. If you read, Isaiah chapter 9, you understand where these people are coming from. People in exaltation. They came and they were looking for somebody who is greater. So when it comes to worship, you and me are looking for somebody and we are worshiping somebody. We are singing to somebody. We are verbalizing something. We are literally bowing down to somebody who is bigger, mightier, and going to live with a bigger name than us. He is a star. Hallelujah. You see, and when you know a star, that means you are in with the crowd, isn't it? And my brothers and sisters, we are in with the crowd. We are in with Jesus. Hallelujah. We are in with the King of Kings. So for that reason, we worship him. So the Magi from the east came to worship him. And the Bible said that when they saw him, they bowed before him. They bowed before him. So worship is about respect to God. It's about reverence. It's about holding somebody in awe who is bigger than you. That's what worship is about. And of course, Abraham's servant. You see, Abraham sent the servant to go and look for a wife for Isaac at the time that he was going to die. And this man, at some point, the Bible said he prayed in his heart that, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do, but then please, I'm going to sit by the well. And if the woman who comes and I ask that please give me water to drink. And this woman said, yes, I'll give you water to drink, but I'll feed your cattle as well. He went with an entourage, you know, and to feed your camel. And to really put water for a camel, you need a trough. Do you understand that? In case you don't know where a trough is, just go up the hill as if you are going Hydeville, right? As you turn Hydeville, there's a trough there. If you go to Blackheath, just where the shops are, there's a trough there. Massive thing that the animals put their mouth in. They need to drink. And this woman had to fill it. Say, God, if that woman will come and give me a drink and feed my camel, that woman will be the person whom I have to take for my master. And the Bible tells us that this servant, when he prayed in his heart, he didn't even shout. What happens is that God answered and the woman came. Rebecca came. And Rebecca did exactly that. And this man repeated this message again. And said, I give glory to God. And as soon as this Rebecca did exactly what he prayed about, you know what he did? He just bowed to God. So we worship God when our prayers are answered. Hallelujah. You see, when God answers your prayers for you, you have to learn to worship God. You don't have to wait to come to church and wait for the worship band to be around or some audios to be played. You got to begin to thank God wherever you are. Hallelujah. You see, there's another good news. Gideon, my namesake. This guy, without telling much of his story, this guy also met an angel. And the angel, literally, he decided, look, I'm going to sacrifice to this angel. And he didn't even know that it was. But then he always used the word, my Lord, my Lord. That means he recognized something there. And when he put it there, the angel stretched his staff, and then the sacrifice was consumed. The Bible said he worshipped the Lord. And when God gave him a plan as to how to defeat the Midianites, the Bible said he bowed down and worshipped the Lord. You see, so we bring a sacrifice of praise as a form of worship before our God. Do you understand that? You bring a sacrifice of praise. So when you come to church, you are bringing a sacrifice of praise. You are bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You are bringing a sacrifice. Even with our offering, it's a sacrifice. It's your money that you've worked for. And you are giving it that. You are doing what? You are sacrificed. In fact, the Bible said, don't want a ghost in front of a king empty-handed. So please, I beg you, don't come before God empty-handed. Because your blessings is in that. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Gideon did that. And that is in the book of Judges. Of course, he himself was a judge. You see, now let's look at something. In case you are thinking, oh, this is all theory. Let's come to your real life. Your boss at work. What does he do? Your managing director or the chief executive, whatever it is. The person is your provider of your income. Isn't that true? Your director is your provider. You're working. If the director says you are fired today, you're gone. You can take him to court as much as you want. He will still stay there and pay you some money and still be there and you'll be gone. So, he is the provider of your work, at your workplace. He's the authority figure that you look at. And therefore, such people, what do? We hold them in awe and we revere them, don't we? So if a human being who is your provider because you owe your salary to him or your wage to him or your line manager or your team leader, you owe your income to him and you respect that person because if I'm your manager and you disrespect me, I will sack you. So you lose your money. Because there's no point. What's the point of me giving, putting money in your pocket and disrespecting me? For what reason? You see, so the next person will come and get a job. So what we're saying that, look, if God is your provider, if you recognize it and you acknowledge that, if you recognize that God is an authority figure over your life, why can't you worship him? See, the reason why some people actually go and then, always kind of bow down to, their managers or always kind of licking their boots, excuse me for my language, is simply because they know that their salary, their wage, their food comes from them. And the more boots they lick, they're going to have more food. I know literally you don't, Dwayne, I know. But literally, the truth is that a lot of people just do that because they recognize that they need their daily bread from that person. So for that reason, we have to bring that analogy into our own lives as God's people and see that God has been our provider. We pray and we say, give us this day our daily bread. Isn't that true? And if God forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, and God is so good that sometimes even before you forgive the person who has sinned against you, he forgives you all the time. So why aren't we holding him in reverence? Why aren't we bowing before him? Why aren't we doing that? What are we saying? One is, come to worship. Worship begins with the individual. Say that with me. Worship begins with the individual. One more time. Thank you. Worship begins with the individual. Please don't wait till you come to church before you say, I'm coming to worship. That means right from home, you wake up in the morning and you begin to praise the Lord. You got to have a reason to praise God. You have your life. And Aaron was telling you in Acts chapter 16, she was stealing my thunder. I don't know whether she saw my note, but I knew she didn't. Because I was so ill, I only woke up in the morning to do it, so she wouldn't have seen it. So, what I'm trying to say is that whether you are in pain, whether you are rejoicing, whether you are in prison, whether you have a job, whether you do not have a job, whether you have so much money or you have very little or none, begin to praise the Lord. For in praising the Lord is your victory. In praising the Lord is the prison doors going to open to you. In praising the Lord is to strengthen the hand of your God, and your God is going to fight big on your behalf. In praising the Lord opens the doors wide open before you because he sees your heart. He sees that you are determined to press on regardless. Hallelujah. Worship begins with the individual. And the individual who is the worshiper always do that way. A person who spends time to look intently into the word of God, that is, read and reflect on it, will naturally worship God. Hallelujah. You see, people who worship God, who wake up and worship God, there's always some word of God in their heart. You wake up and something stirs you up in your spirit. A song comes to your heart. And it's not a secular song. It's not a song by any of those musicians because they come and go. The Bible said, all things will pass away, but my word will not pass away. See, there are songs that when I was growing up, we used to sing, but we don't have to sing anymore. When I sing some of them to you, probably pass out. They were so beautiful. But I dare to say the older songs are better. Father Lloyd, you agree with me, don't you? He's a good dancer, you know, watch him. So what I want you to understand is that a person who spends time to look intently into the Word of God, who spent time reading the Bible, who spent time want to know God, because it's when you want, if you want to know God, go to the Word of God. It's when you see who God is. So worship will begin with the individual, and therefore you see that there's always a song on your heart. You cannot stop. In the course of the week, even as I felt like, oh God, I am so, so unwell. I mean, I wake up in the morning, there's always a song on my heart. My wife tells me, look, you were so deep asleep. Probably she was saying I was snoring, but she was very polite. And he said, but what woke you up? I just wake up and I'm singing in my spirit. And I'm thinking, God must be speaking. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see? So when you do that, you become a worshiper of God. Whoever it is, you become a worshiper of God, the living God, because your God is alive. And that is what it is. Worship begins with the individual. It does not begin with a corporate. Worship begins with the individual. And therefore, Abel understand that he had to worship God. And therefore, he chose the right way to worship God. You know, the right way to worship God is to begin to confess his sins and the sins of his family. So he offered a lamb of God that took away the sin of mankind. Never mind Cain. He couldn't care less about God, so he didn't do what God expected him to do. Worship is a sacrifice to God. It's our offering to God. Worship is our offering to God. So it's not the money that you put in the offering right now. We're talking about offering to God, offering yourself to God. So Abel offered himself to God. And when you go to Hebrews, the Bible said that even the blood of Abel, even though he died, is still speaking. Why is he still speaking? He's still speaking forgiveness and he's still speaking. At the point that he was killed, that was what he was doing. Speaking forgiveness and speaking praises and sacrifice unto our God. Worship is about speaking forgiveness and praises to our God. So that should be reflected in the song that we sing. We know that Abraham worshiped God, not only at the time that they told him he was going to have a son, but in chapter 22 when he says, bring your son as a sacrifice, that was his worship. Worship is obedience, listening to God and obeying him. Worship is listening to God and obeying. If you are somebody who listens to God and obey God, you worship him. You see, those who can't worship God, they don't listen, they don't obey. They want to do their own thing. They're church people. Or some of them have no God in them at all, and therefore no hope. The Bible said they are most to be pitied. Jacob worshiped God. You see, when he was running away from his son, his brother Cain, and was also going to take a wife, as it were, for himself, from the east, what happened? The Bible said he had a dream, and in that dream, he saw a ladder coming from the heavens, and the people walking up and down. You see, worship is something that moves from you to God and from God to you. It's a heavenly connection. So when you begin to worship, you connect yourself to the heavens, and the heavens connect with you. So if you are not worshiping God, you are not connecting to the heavens, and the heavens is not connecting with you. You are on your own. So if you say you don't know how to worship, I'm teaching you these things because we want to come to the chapter that we are dealing with and you understand why I'm saying this. Because we have to learn to connect with the heavens and for the heavens to connect with us. We have to open a direct line, not direct insurance, but direct line, our insurance to God. Hallelujah. We have to open that line so that one day we can literally sing ourselves into heaven. So that we can pray ourselves into heaven. So we can verbalize ourselves into heaven. Some people, when they are dying, they just say stupid things. But people who are from God, when they are dying, sometimes they say very little or none at all. They commune in their heart to God. Hallelujah. And the confidence is a solemn occasion because they feel so sad that they're leaving everybody behind. But then they're also so assured that they're going to see their Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mark chapter 9, what happens? The Bible said, look, they were so awed by the presence of Jesus Christ and Abraham and Moses. They read about them thousands of years ago, that these were great prophets of God. And then suddenly, how did they know that was Joseph, was Moses? Or how did they know it was Elijah? By divine revelation. So when you worship God, you know what? God let you into some supernatural. Are you with me? You see, sometimes when you worship, you just get lost. You just get lost into the supernatural. You begin to see God. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, when he was being stoned to death, he became lost into it. And he said, look, I can see God. And the more they stone him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You see, God came to bear him up. So even though the stones were hitting him and the blood was oozing everywhere, he probably didn't feel it. Because he worshipped into the supernatural. Paul and Silas worship into the supernatural at the pinnacle of the day. That is, the Bible said, midnight, they began to worship. Before the day came, they broke through some supernatural. Because you know the demons work more, especially if you are from the tradition that believes in witchcraft and wizard, they work better at night. Because they know you are sleeping. They know you're not doing nothing. That's when they work. And that is when worship breaks through. When the powers of evil are stronger, that is when worship breaks through and make them look so small. It set the prisoner free. It opens the gate. And Peter, James, and John were moving to the supernatural. They recognized Elijah. They recognized, Moses. Then they saw Jesus and said, you know what, Jesus, what do you want us to do? We're going to build three temples or three altars. Oh, this one is for doing, this one is for filming, this one is for coming, this one is for clean. He said, look, you don't know, even know what you are talking about. That's what the Bible says, for they did not know what they are talking about. You see, worship sometimes gets you so lost that you don't even know what you're doing. You just do it. Are you with me? You don't even have to think about what you do. You just do it. That's what worship does to us. Now, note this one. You see, Adam missed an opportunity to worship God. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, look, I have made you God of this world. Be fruitful and multiply. Overshadow the earth. Take control. Everything was put in his hand. Chapter 2, even God's creation was given to him to name it. You see, when I buy my car, I want to put my name on it. I don't want Catherine's name on it, even though I'm sure I love you so much. But whatever it is, I want to make sure that it's in my name. Nobody go and buy a car or a television and put somebody's name on it. Do you understand that? Because you are paying for it. You want your name to go on it. And God just did something and said, Adam, you name them. It shows that God values us so much and the relationship that we have to have with him so much that God wants us to be so happy so that we can worship him. Be so happy so that we can say, thank you, God. Worship is about thanksgiving, my brothers and sisters. It's about saying thank you to God. But the first time that, Adam said thank you was when he got his woman. That's the only time he said thank you, not even to God. I said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And imagine when God created the universe, Adam was born, it's as if he's woken up from sleep. And then you look all around you, beauty. Even the lions are looking at you and laughing. The birds are singing and coming and land on all over you. You have the biggest garden ever. Everything is over there, food and everything. Even when you reach up to the Bible said, God has even put diamonds. Sapphire, gold, everything is there. You don't even know what to do with it. Timber, anything that you want. Bible said anything that man wants was there. River was there. Isn't it amazing that Adam could have said, thank you, God, what a place you put me. He never said once. Yet, he gave the worship and adoration to women. I'm not saying women are bad, but what I'm trying to say, he gave it to man, human being. Right, and some of us, our worship is to human beings. The things that we got, the children that we have, thank God for them. The qualification, the money and everything. We thank God for all these and they are good. But are we learning to say thank you to God? How often do we thank God for the good things that he gives us? How often do we say thank you? Instead of saying, okay, God, I've got this one. What's the next one coming? Shall we say thank you to God? Adam missed an opportunity. So we are talking about human beings, how often we miss the opportunity to thank God. You see, we have to acknowledge our need for God. Worship is about acknowledging our need for God. The focus of man should be to worship God. Adam didn't. What Moses did after he was so upset about the mad cow worship, in Exodus chapter 32, he smashed the Ten Commandments. God was upset and said, you come on, hey, come here. Do you know how to write? Do you know how many words it takes to write on the stone? God could have killed him. But God said, no, this time, I'm not going to write it. You write it. And he wrote on the tablets, and God gave it to him in his hand. And he came back. And the Bible said, when he came back, the first thing that he did, he worshiped God. And said, God, do not remember the sins of your people. Hallelujah. You see, when it comes to worship, we have to remember to even confess our sins before God and say, God, do not remember the sin of my youth. According to your words, remember me. So I remember Graham Kendrick to one of the Psalms, I think, I've forgotten which Psalm it is, Psalm 25, I think, and said, remember, do not remember the sin of my youth, but according to your love, remember me. Hallelujah. You see, so worship is about telling God, God, do not remember the sin of my youth. Do not remember the sin of yesterday. Do not even remember the sin that I'm involved in it. But I just want to say, God, here I am to worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to worship my God. It's presenting yourself the way you are before God. So when we come to worship, we are saying, God, here we are to worship you. So remember I said it would start with the individual, and that is exactly what we are doing. So far you can see me, I mean, concentrating on the individual. It's very important. And this is scripture-based because we have our own views about how to. But I'm concentrating on you so that we can do this. So Moses did that. And not only did he do that, but then when it comes to Thomas, the Bible said he even doubted. Sometimes, you see, sometimes we doubt God, and sometimes we walk away from God. Sometimes we're a Christian and we don't even know whether we are trusting God or not. But then the Bible said when Jesus Christ came and said, Thomas, you know what? When Thomas was speaking, Jesus wasn't there. And suddenly Jesus appeared. The doors were shut. He appeared in front of him. Never mind the scary bit. But then Jesus said, Thomas, feel my hand. Feel my side. That means God is always there when you begin to worship him. And what did he say? My Lord and my God. Do you understand that? So when we begin to worship, God is with us. He's right there hearing our words. He knows what is bothering you. He knows what you are happy about. He knows what are the issues which are present for you. He knows your sadness. He knows what is pressuring you. He understands the pressure that you are going through. He understands your story more than anybody could ever understand. And he said, look, I'm right there. Thomas, feel my hand. Thomas, feel my side. And are you prepared to say, my Lord and my God? In spite of your story. Worship is about that. Worship is about the disciples worshiping the risen Lord. It's about we worshiping the risen Lord, bowing down to him, showing him respect, trusting him, thanking him, forgiving, asking him for forgiveness of sin, acknowledging him for who he is and what he provides for us. So we are saying, look, God, we want to worship the risen Lord. We are not worshiping a dead Jesus. You understand that? Some religions do worship a dead man, but then we worship a living Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, worship is about we knowing that our God is alive. If we know that your God is alive, then you want to worship that God. Do you understand that? You see, Ezra, when he opened the book of the law, the Bible said the sight of it and the words that came out of it made the people worship God. They worship God. They worship God. So, now, let's bring ourselves to us we want to bring this to an end. We want to pick up what we read today. And I'm not going to reread it again because Monica read it so beautifully. If you didn't, don't want to, you want to hear her voice again, go to our website tomorrow and you hear her voice. That is there. Now, worship is expressed through the soul, the spirit, and the body. Human beings are three-dimensional. You have a soul, if you don't know what it is, that means you have intellect, you have brains that you think, you reason. You have emotions, you have feelings. Do you understand that? So worship, your mind engaged, your feelings also, you have to feel the music. Our culture, Jenny, isn't that right? We feel the music. Exactly. You don't feel the music, you don't do nothing. So we have to feel the music. You have to feel the worship. So we have to worship through our soul. We have to feel it. And then we should have a will to want to do it, right? So let your mind engage. Let your emotions and feel it. And have the will to want to engage. Now, what happens is that worship also engages the spirit, because as you worship God, your spirit is lifted higher. Be united with God's spirit. You want your spirit to be energized. If you are so sad, you want your spirit to be lifted up. That's why the music is supposed to help us out. Your soul is lifted. Your spirit is lifted up. And then your body responds to worship. They bow down, didn't they? They did some action. They offered to God. They did something. If you look at Gideon, he was hurrying all over the place. Abraham did similar things. And Jacob did not do anything different, but he also was rushing around and he took an oil and anointed the stone that he had a dream. That is Genesis chapter 28. The Bible said, surely this is the house of God. This is surely the house of God. This is surely the house of God. So I will worship God in his house. That's what he said. He worshiped God in his house. Another form of worship to Jacob is that for everything that God gives to me, a tenth, I'll give to God as my worship to him. Are you listening? I'll give a tenth to God as my worship to him. And you know what? As often as this man did, he prospered 100 times, 1,000 times. He went in out empty and he came back full with children, with wives, and with a lot of wealth. This is God's promise to people. Now let's sit here. Now, the background to this story that you just read, Monica read to us, is saying this, that the people of Israel were in captivity, they were coming out. This is a story that you will know. But then if you read from chapter 14, verse 13 to 15, you realize that, you see, when we praise and worship God, it removes fear from us. You see, it removed the fear of the Egyptians from them. Because the people of Israel were scared and wondering, oh God, Moses, what do we do? And God said, fear not. Fear not. For the enemy you see today, you will not see no more. And Moses did something. Moses worshipped the Lord. And that means Moses banished every fear. Fear not for the enemy that you see. Fear not for the situation that you are is for now. Fear not. The struggles that you are going through is for now. Fear not. Even the joy that you are having is for now. For our God will come on your side. And our God came on his side. So worship removes fear. So if there's any reason for us to worship God, we have to worship God because we have to worship God out of reverence, and that will banish the enemy from us. You see, and what did God do? He said, now, Moses, I know what I'm going to tell you. You're going to lift up your hand and touch that sea. You're going to lift up your hand and touch that sea. And the sea stands for obstacle in your life. The sea stands for all the mountains that stand in your way. The sea stands for all the problems that is in your way. Of course, it also stands for sea of evil that is preventing you from going where you have to go. So when you begin to lift that hand, and as you lift that hand, God is going to divide that sea and going to make sure that you're going to walk through it. Hallelujah. So Moses has a reason to lift up his hand when he was worshiping, because he's going to walk through that sea. Hallelujah. He stretched that staff, the authority of God, over the sea of evil, over the sea of obstacle, and the sea was no more obstacle because it divided for him to walk through. So when we worship God, we bring in the breakthrough of God. We bring the hand of God upon us. We make sure we shove our enemies behind us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Moses, Miriam, and the people of Israel, their experience is a corporate worship. Do you understand that? That means this time they've come together. It's not an individual thing only, but it's a corporate thing as well. So we worship together as one people. It's a corporate worship. And that's exactly what they did. It's a crowd of people involved, not one person. And guess what? There are musical instruments introduced for the first time in worship. Do you understand that? You should see that coming. That's why I said I like to go to the Word of God instead of my own view about worship. Instrument was come. So when you come together, there should be musical instrument. Are you hearing me? Say, yes, sir. I said, praise God for that. So when you come together, there should be a musical instrument. So I beg you, if that is a problem for you, lift up the staff. Lift up your hands so that you can break through that problem. Because otherwise, you're trying to bring a sea in front of God's people. But God is going to break through regardless. You understand that? Exactly. What's the time? Nearly there. So this moves the soul and releases the spirit and the body responses. Anytime there's musical instrument in a corporate worship, it releases the soul and the body and the spirit because it lifts you higher. My brothers and sisters, it lifts you higher. You can sing yourself before God, but then when you are together, imagine the force that you pull together. Singing to God, verbalizing the greatness of God with your hands raised up. That's what happened to these people. It was a community worship. Everyone got engaged in it because it affects everybody. So when we are worshiping as a community, you cannot sit. Sometimes I hear our young ones, you are saying that you don't like our songs. I'm saying, which song do you like? Tell me. And I can assure you that you sing more of the devil's song than church song. And that will not do you any good. And our children, parents, listen, they know more about the worldly song, the words line by line, than the church one. Why? Because we are not worshiping ourselves. We're not teaching them to worship from home. We probably are not showing them how to worship. We're not showing how we love God and how God is important to us. So they come and they are bored, like I'm having some 5 to 10 years looking at me. I'm thinking, oh, what's this man saying? Yes, Demi. Praise the Lord. You see, learn to worship, sing our God song. So when it comes to community, remember, you see, they did not say only the adults did it and the small, they said the whole of Israelites. And were there not kids with them? Were there not old people with them? All sorts were with them. Even some foreigners, Europeans, were with them. We're British. Because people who left the land of Egypt, some of them were not Israelites, and they joined them because they saw the God that they worshiped, how powerful he was. So coming back without digressing, what I'm saying is that it was a community worship. That is a community worship. And for the first time, they shifted from the contemplative way of worshiping. That means where you stand and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. This time they were energized for the first time. Do you understand that? They were energized because our fathers, the Catholic Church, where we are in Europe, the Catholic Church was the main church for a long time in Christendom, right? So we all came from the Catholic Church, whether we are Baptist, Church of England, whatever. We came from the Catholic Church. You see, and they like the monastic form of worship, where you sit quietly and you look to God. That is good for the individual. But then they realized that they're actually not worshiping God as a corporate body. So they said, you know what, we have to introduce, this church history, I'm telling you, they know that they had to introduce song to it. But they look at us and say, no, we're posh people, we are educated people, because the priests were the most educated guys. They said, we're not going to introduce guitars and the tambourines and everything. In our homes, there are pianos and organs. So So we'll bring organs into church. So quickly, they're putting all these organs into our church. And that became the tradition of the music. So it's organ music. And a lot of us have grown loving organ music, which is good. But praise and worship, remember what they did? They said they raised the tambourines. I remember in 1974, I was in Kennington Apostolic Church. I visited with my friends, and when I went, there were about 100 women with tambourines playing, and the guitars, their sound was incredible. I opened my mouth in awe. Beautiful. And they're dancing. They just play like this. That's the way they play. You see, that has nothing to do with no color. White and black people, they do this. Yeah? That's why I met Leslie Isaac for the first time. Street Pastors, the founder of Street Pastors. At that time, those times he was with Rasta, a gang leader, and became a believer. And he became a pastor subsequently in the 80s in the Kennington Apostolic Church. Big church. Still there. So here I'm telling you that what is happening there is that they shifted from the contemplative form of worship into an open praise. So when you come together in a corporate worship, think about open praise. Open praise where you sing, where you play instrument, where you dance, and where you lift up your hands. And this will happen if your heart is open. If this will happen, if God is important to you. Look at them. They were slaves for over four. They were in a country, a foreign land, for about 430 years. And for the first time, they've been set free. And they're going free. You have no idea. Those of us who probably did not have to blink and to get a British passport, it's fine. But if you are an alien or a foreigner and you had to struggle to get a British passport, when you have it, you want to kiss it. Do you understand that? Exactly. And that's what it was for them. So they were praising God. They were thanking God for the big victory that he's given to them. And this, you cannot stand still. This, you cannot do that. This, you cannot say, I can't sing. This, you cannot say, I can't raise up my hand. Have you been to a football stadium before? Do you know that over 80% of them are British-born, white Caucasian guys? Have you been there before? The noise. Have you been to Emirates Stadium or even Charlton Athletic? The noise, the dancing, and the singing is incredible. I grew up running in the stadiums, and the support that you get from the crowd is just incredible. So, what lessons have we learned? This is the last bit that I want to bring to your attention from the reading. Lessons that we've learned from our fathers before we go home and go home with is that find your voice when you come to church. Find your voice. You cannot keep quiet. Read it for yourself. Even Moses, yeah? Moses led it. He became the first worship leader. He found his voice. And his praises were so long. Did you follow when Monica was reading? He was just adoring God. I will sing unto my Lord. I mean, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, he's become my victory. He's my Father's God. I will praise him. I will worship him. Hallelujah. These are true words that was read for us. Check it out for yourself. You see, and as you praise God, the lesson that we've learned is that we want to draw strength from the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, we draw strength from the Lord. Verse 2 tells us. And verse 3 through to 10, I mean, what we do is faith rises in the majesty and the power of God. As you praise God, faith rises. As you praise God, your doubts goes away. As you praise God, because your focus is on God, because you know that he's amazing, he's powerful, he's awesome, you begin to see him and you begin to see your problems just falling off the hill. You just see your sicknesses even giving way because that's what it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. You see, and that is corporate worship. Corporate worship releases something that individual worship could not have. And if you have a serious worship band that is serious, I mean, doing the right things, anointed, prophetic men and women worshiping God, you will see the things that is going to come. Nobody will tell you to dance and you will jump. Nobody will tell you to raise up your hand and you did. Who told the Israelites to raise up their hand? Who told them to play tambourines? Who told them to dance? Who told them to sing? It was a spontaneous thing, my brothers and sisters. Now, when you have a corporate worship, what you do that you see the victory as the reason that you want to worship God. You begin to see the thing that is bothering you, and you begin to see God's victory in the foe as the thing that God is going to do. And what needs to happen is that the worship leaders need to move it to the next level. So the people who stand on the platform, who drums, who do all sort of things, they cannot just do things as usual. They have to lift themselves to the next level. Are you with me? You have to lift yourself to the next level. And that is what verse 21 and 22 was, 20 and 21 is telling us. Lift yourself to the next level. Don't stand there. Not only the worship leaders, but you too. Lift yourself to the next level. Stand there and say, God, no, I don't want to be who I am no more. Not that you want to kill yourself, but you are saying, look, I don't want to be where I am. I want to move to the next level. I want to see the glory of God come. I want to see what God is going to do. I'm not going to accept my situation. Even if it is good, I want to be better. Even if it's better, I want to be the best, because God is with me. Hallelujah. And the final thing I want to bring to your attention is this: culture and musical taste did not define worship, or does not define worship. Culture and musical taste. It doesn't matter which culture you come from. Doesn't matter which your musical taste is. That's why sometimes I struggle when people say, we don't like this, but we like the other. Or we like the other, but we don't like the other. You see, when it comes to worship, it's not about culture. It's not about taste. It's about reverence. It's about all-filled respect for the Lord and the expression of thanksgiving to the God that will move you to worship Him with songs, with instruments, and with dancing. That is what happened to the Israelites. They forgot that they even have foreigners with them. They forgot that not everybody was from Israel. They forgot that some were kids. They forgot that some were older. They forgot that some probably didn't do anything. They forgot that some were even disabled, but they were all worshiping God. So, what do you say? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, a verse that I like so much. It says, when you gather, that's New Testament. You'll be thinking everything is from the Old Testament. When you gather, let there be songs. Hallelujah. Let there be the word. Let there be speaking of tongues. Let there be revelation. Let there be interpretation. Let there be prophecy. Hallelujah. You see, when you worship to some extent, you know what? The room can be very quiet and words of prophecy comes. God speaks to the people. The room can be very quiet and people will be seeing visions and pictures and everything. So you can see that we're not there yet. My brothers and sisters, this is what worship is about. And he continues to say, look, now I want you to show how much you guys love God. Ephesians said, be filled with the Spirit of God. Speak to one another in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Making melody. And when we're singing, I could hear some voices coming in. That's making melody. But imagine when we're singing, we have some harps playing. We have some violin playing. We have some percussion, some kind of percussion. The drums is beating and other things beating. And imagine so many thousands of them. At the time, there were 600,000 men who were of war. Never count the women, never count the men, never count count the children were there. So we're talking about millions of people worshiping. Imagine the sound. Imagine the noise. The Bible said that then the Moabites became scared. So where they were and Moab was over 100 miles. They heard them and they were scared. The Edomites heard them. They were about 50 miles away. They heard them and they were scared. It's got to be some noise there. Are you with me? You see, if I came and I told them, you have to do this, you have to do them, think, oh yeah, Pastor Gideon, he's all African, he's all Caribbean, he's all whatever it is, or he is all, probably some of you say, oh, he's too English, whatever it is. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. It has nothing to do with English, has nothing to do with Caribbean, it has nothing to do with African, it has everything to do with God and you. So let's open our hearts and let's hear God. I want you to see one little video, it's about 3 minutes or so, and this is how some lovely group of people from our island worship God. Please play it for me, and I will be done.